sponsors today are Sonic Insights Medical Corporation. They are the developers, manufacturers, and marketers of Velicor. About Sonic, Sonic recognizing the rise of chronic liver disease, Sonic Insights is on a mission to reduce the disease by enabling routine assessment and management of liver health. Its breakthrough point of care product, the ultrasound solution Velicor, assesses and manages chronic liver disease with diagnostic accuracy that is comparable to MRI, the current non-invasive gold standard. And to the audience, if you think about the last conversation where we talked about the challenges and benefits of why the scanning, this is a product that's created to work with that kind of a set of issues. Velicor is the first handheld 3D liver health assessment tool that is fast, accurate, intelligent, and portable. It provides a clear picture of the liver in real time so that healthcare practitioners can be confident in their diagnosis, treatment, and care. You can learn more by going to sonicinsights.com. And we have with us today, George Alaftiris, President and CEO of Sonic Medical. Good morning, George. Good afternoon. Good whatever time of day it is where you are.
Hello, Roger.
And Dr. Michael Curry from Beth Israel in Boston, who is the primary author on a poster that Sonic is presenting this week at the Digital ILC conference. Good afternoon. Good morning, Michael.
Good afternoon.
Okay. And Stephen and Louise have come over with us from the podcast to join in part of the questioning. So what we're going to do now is pretty simple. George and Michael will each take a minute or two to tell you about themselves and their backgrounds and why they're here and excited about what they're doing. And then they'll take about 10 minutes. George will talk a little bit about the company. Michael will talk some about the poster. Maybe George will talk about the poster. They'll do that however they wish. But the next 10 minutes belongs to you two gents. So go ahead. Have fun.
Well, thanks, Roger. And thank you for the opportunity to be here. It's an honor and a pleasure to participate in our first ILC conference that we have here. Not only a poster, but an exhibition as well. I'm the founding CEO of the company. I'm a serial entrepreneur. This is my third startup in the health tech space. We're based in lovely Vancouver. Hopefully you all will have a chance to visit Vancouver in the near future when COVID subsides, of course. And we are formed with the purpose to really revolutionize how the assessment of many chronic diseases that we afflict human health. Using our disruptive elastography solution. And we take the principles of MRE, basically external excitation, but marry it to handheld ultrasound. So if you are familiar with the butterfly, which is what's happening in the point of care ultrasound space, we are doing similar in terms of the liver health disease segment, using the accessibility portability of handheld ultrasound, but retaining the performance characteristics of MRE and also MRI PDFF for liver health. We are a company that has foundations in the University of British Columbia. That is the technology platform that we licensed. And as Roger mentioned, our first product is Velicor, which is a 3D tissue assessment tool. And ultimately, our vision and mission is to reduce and eliminate chronic liver disease, but how we do it, our vision differs than existing tools. We want to enable physicians, not only hepatology, but all physicians to have access to this powerful tool to assess and manage patients with this disease and even those that are actually at risk of disease. So really important to address this health crisis. And our procedure takes 5 minutes to perform. It can be delegated if the physician chooses, and it can be integrated in different type of environments from outpatient to in-market or clinics itself. I'm really excited to be here and happy to pass on the baton to Michael.
Thanks, George. I'm Michael Curry. I'm Director of Hepatology at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center and Associate Professor at Harvard Medical School. And I have a group of hepatologists that I oversee, about 13 hepatologists in Boston, Massachusetts, where we have a very large clinical practice of patients with all forms of liver disease. We have a non-alcoholic fatty liver disease center headed up by one of my colleagues, and we have been involved in the development of non-invasive markers for liver fibrosis for many years. Our center was pivotal in getting the transient elastography technology of FibroScan approved in the United States, and we have used this as well as other methods of non-invasive liver fibrosis assessment widely, including open access programs where these studies can be performed by our primary care practices to try and determine which patients have significant fibrosis and need to be referred on to care. It's been our pleasure to work with George and his team to develop and validate VeliCure over the past number of months, past year or two, actually. And this is a very useful technology in our patient population. Thank you.
So to George and to Michael, first of all, we're delighted and honored that you've chosen to sponsor our podcast today at Digital ILC meeting. And we're delighted to announce that Sonic Medical will be becoming our first corporate sponsor. And I think what we do next is turn the floor back to you, gents, to talk a little bit about the paper and the exhibition that you have here at this conference.
Great. I'd love to discuss the presentation that we have had by poster at ILC. And these are the initial results of a clinical trial using VeliCure, developed by Sonic Insights to help measure liver elasticity and attenuation. As you've heard already, the VeliCure system uses algorithms which are similar to MRI elastography in order to measure the shear wavelength within the liver to calculate liver stiffness, which we all know is a surrogate marker for fibrosis. Similar to MRI elastography, the patient lies on an activation pad, which is placed under the patient's back, and steady state shear waves at a frequency of between 40 and 70 hertz are transmitted into the patient. A full range image then is able to, ultrasound image is able to guide the user to the correct location for measurement of liver stiffness. And through a sweeping motion of a probe placed on the patient's anterior abdominal wall or over the right rib cage, a volume of about 100 millimeters cubed, or roughly 50% of an average male liver, is measured to produce the average volumetric spatial elasticity of the liver. The multi-frequency approach provides an opportunity for averaging the liver stiffness to reduce measurement of uncertainty. The attenuation is also measured from the ultrasound data captured simultaneously at the same time as the elasticity measurement. This trial was an initial feasibility study to determine if the system can differentiate liver fibrosis in patients who are with NAFLD or hepatitis C from healthy volunteers. And it was performed at three centers in the United States and in Canada. All patients had either a prior diagnosis of hepatitis C or had non-alcoholic fatty liver disease and had to have liver fibrosis as assessed by FibroScan with a score of greater than 8 kilopascals or higher within the previous 12 months. Patients' body mass index was on average between 23 for volunteers and 30 kilograms per meter squared for patients. But the highest body mass index we had in the study was 41 kilograms per meter squared. The study aimed to show that VeliCure could discriminate healthy volunteers from patients with liver fibrosis with a high degree of accuracy. VeliCure was able to differentiate these two cohorts in terms of fibrosis with similar AUCs to FibroScan, with AUCs in both groups being greater than 0.9 for fibrosis as well as steatosis. When we used a threshold of 6 kilopascals for fibrosis or elasticity and a threshold of 223 dp per m for attenuation, the specificity and sensitivity of VeliCure to differentiate the cohorts is above 0.88 with the high sensitivity and specificity for both measurements. As an exploratory objective of the study, a limited number of patients also underwent MRI elastography for comparison with VeliCure. In these patients, the concordance coefficient was approximately 0.87 in comparison to FibroScan's 0.5. When comparing the MRI PDFF The correlation coefficient was 0.9, demonstrating an excellent correlation between Velocur's attenuation parameter, as well as that, as compared to FibroScan, which was 0.6, when we compared the fat fraction as measured by MRI-PDFF. In terms of safety, there was no adverse events experienced by any patient using the Velocur system. So overall, our pilot study has really shown that this portable system, which can be used as a point of care test and can be used by a variety of users, it has results that are similar to MRI for assessment of both liver stiffness or liver elasticity, as well as steatosis in both healthy volunteers as well as in patients. And presently, further work is underway to compare Velocur's ability to discriminate between stages of fibrosis and steatosis. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Louise, Stephen, whichever one of you would like the first question. Come on, Louise, go ahead.
I think it's good. No, for one, for getting as much diagnostics into the primary care or a better setting that allows patients access to, or anybody access to information about the liver. Can I just ask, I couldn't see in the poster, I love the dynamic fat fraction correlation there, that's great, but with the FibroScan, was there a different, it doesn't state what probes were used, and there would have been a different probe on the higher BMI patients, for example. Now we know that with CAP, with the XL probe, you get a difference mm-hmm. in readings and you'll get a different attenuation level for that. So how did you balance for that within the results that are displayed?
Yeah, great question. I don't have the breakdown of what the difference numbers of patients who were assayed through the M as well as the XL probe, but from what I do remember, most of our patients with FibroScan were studied with the M probe and very few with XL. But I don't have the breakdown of numbers.
Fantastic. But it looks encouraging, and it's a nice poster. Well done.
I'll make one comment as well from the company perspective. We use a curvilinear linear array, standard off-the-shelf probe. So there's one probe, be it you're a large person, moderate person, or a small person, it's one probe. So one measurement, there's no difference in terms of outputs.
Fantastic. So it doesn't matter about the rib space, because even FibroScan every now and again struggles with the absolute, Asian would be the key one, because sure. They have such narrow rib spaces.
I mean, you still have to have the view to the liver itself, but we just need a view to the liver. We can do other measurements as well, but we use the rib cage as being markers or the fixture where we rock the probe back and forth. But certainly the results can be obtained through different means as well, but we use the rib cage to rock back and acquire signal.
Yeah, it looks nice, I have to say.
Steven? Yeah, hey, Michael, this is Steven. So congratulations on the poster, also George, to you as well. And I'm familiar with the work you guys have put out working with Michelle and Nizam and others out of your group. And so kudos for this proof of concept data. Just thinking about it as you're talking and as George had introduced, I think there's some positives here that will give this modality legs. And I want to mention those before I ask a couple questions. So that is, it's portable. And I've had a chance to see this up front and up close, and it is small enough to carry around and use in clinic. And for that reason, I think it has a huge potential benefit to impact this disease. One of the things we talked about this morning, or that was mentioned at the ILC, and then we talked about in the podcast, was the struggle we have at getting primary care to understand fatty liver as a real disease. And the paradigm is not such that you wait till the ALT is 200, you know, and the patient is presenting with with a swollen abdomen and sarcopenia and jaundice, ultimately it's trying to get at these people while they're asymptomatic and they may or may not have elevated liver enzymes. And I think where we're able to give them a tool that's quick, it's readily available, it's easy to use, you don't have to have a medical degree to do it, is going to be really, really key in advancing. I also like the fact that you get two outputs. You get a stiffness and you get a liver fat content measurement through one probe. And it looks to me, focusing on the PDFF, that there is a strong correlation with that, not just in saying, yes, there is fatty and fatty liver, but maybe even potentially quantifying that degree of fatty liver. Rohit Lumba is a very good friend of mine and a pioneer in this field. And one of his comments he made this morning in the Q&A session was a comment that the higher the fat content, actually probably the more progressive the disease. And there may be something to that. We just have to look at it closer. I do think this is a proof of concept trial. And therefore, I want to ask you, Michael, some specific questions relative to where you see the next steps being made in relation to improving the clarity around the accuracy and the precision of your test. Because as you know, while liver biopsy is an imperfect gold standard, it is still required. This is a surrogate test. And it's going to be needed, it's going to need to be compared to biopsy, even if you use MRE, which I think is a very elegant way to have a proof of concept. What are your plans? And the other question I have is diversity of patients. You know, obviously we need to study patients with no disease, those with advanced fibrosis and everything in between. And one of the things we're discovering with the cap function on FibroScan, for instance, is that once you are cirrhotic, there probably is a false positive to that cap. We have the benefit of doing MRI PDFF following cap in our cirrhotic trials. And a lot of the caps are coming back over 300 with PDFFs less than 5%. So just your thoughts on those aspects, please.
Stephen, thanks for those comments. And as you said, this is a proof of concept study. And ideally, the study would be best done comparing this technology to liver biopsy. As you well know, it is very difficult to get patients to agree to liver biopsy, particularly with this disease state. And the frequency of liver biopsy, at least in our population, is quite low. We have patients who have undergone liver biopsies for diagnostic and clinical reasons. We have patients who are undergoing liver biopsies to enroll in clinical trials. And so we have some historic liver biopsy data that we have not fully analyzed yet. We don't have as much historic liver biopsy data on patients who have undergone a Velicure assessment as we would like. But our plan is to continue to try and gather that information. I'll let George speak to this question, but we do not have plans at this present moment in time to do a Velicure versus liver biopsy study. But we are interested in capturing any available liver biopsy study within a 6-month period that is available to us in patients who are undergoing Velicure assessment. I agree with you as well that I think that as patients' liver disease progresses, there's some concerns with PDFF assessment. And our plans next are we are moving forward to increase the number of patients who are having an MRI elastography as well as MRI PDFF collected at the same time as a Velicure or within a short window of the Velicure assessment.
And thanks, Michael. And I just elaborate further. So we do have site activation in our next study, which is comparing it to MRI PDFF. Now, biopsy is historical and it is being included, but when available. But the primary objective of the study is to compare to MRE, and the secondary is for comparison to MRI PDFF. Biopsy still remains as an exploratory tertiary when available. Now, we do recognize that biopsy is important. So we have another program, as we call it, the Early Access Program, that we're working with Centers of Clinical Excellence and trying to increase our biopsy data set to complement what we do with the company-sponsored study, which is multi-site, and Beth Israel being one of the sites that we are working with Michael and his team. And that's what our current plans are. And that will also look at the patient diversity. It's important, certainly, that we recognize that although we may have 100 plus patients that were assessed in this study that's a poster, we do need more diversity in patient type subsets with different types of disease, for sure. And we're addressing that.
And I think, you know, you guys have a plan that'll come. You know, this is proof of concept. It's exciting to be able to show that you can detect both of these things, the stiffness and the fat. Because again, going back to primary care, I as an advocate in the NASH field need something that I can carry with me into PCPs and show them, guys, this is hashtag real talk. It's not that difficult, okay? Have your MA, have somebody do this before you see the patient. You have the results on your clipboard when you walk in the room, and you can make appropriate assessments relative to the findings you see from this handheld device. So I'm excited about it. I think it does have potential. There is a bit of development that needs to happen before that, as we talked about.
Yeah, and that's very important to have that sort of further validation to be able to go to the PCPs, for sure. And that's something that as part of our roadmap to, as part of market entry.
So George and Michael, because you weren't part of the previous section of the podcast, you missed an exchange between Louise and between Vlad Ratziu on this specific subject, where Vlad made the comment that FibroScan is a extremely technical tool best left in the hands of the specialist. And Louise agreed that it was a technical tool, but with training, it might not need a specialist to manage it. Have you started looking at what you think the requirements will be to get people in a primary care office adequately trained to use this tool appropriately?
So going back to what's happening in the ultrasound space, imaging interpretation is, it requires a different approach, because ultimately to train a user, you have to address the acquisition and interpretation. So we are integrating AI machine learning as part of a organ identification. So we can do segmentation of image and tell you, you have target liver, or you have target spleen, target different type of organs within the mix. Obviously with a PCP, you need to tell them what's liver and what's not. So the type of acquisition and target localization is shown. And that, and depending on what the user is, an expert user will may want to know, how much liver do I have in my measurement itself? Very important, but only for the expert user, perhaps. So we are addressing the acquisition from a software, but also from an interpretation, which I mentioned about, that we're making those interpretation of image in real time. So it is within part of the appointment as 5 minutes, and make it really simple and delegable. And even that we're looking of how we can change how we deliver the solution. So moving away from a CapEx model to a service model. So there's no large upfront fee. It's actually a low upfront fee, or no fee, ultimately.
Can I ask just a question on its operation? Obviously, FibroScan sends pulses through when you trigger the pulse. Is the pulse generated automatically when it hits the skin and you place the skin on the probe, or is there a sort of fire mechanism within that?
So similar to what's being done with MRE, you use external excitation. Mm-hmm. So what Michael mentioned about the activation pad, that actually creates a shear wave through the whole abdomen. So right. You're not limited to any depth itself, because the imaging transducer, which we use, goes up to 15 cm. So it's applicable for all body types. So you really, unlike FibroScan transit elastography, which sends pulses, we do it through the external excitation approach.
Fantastic, because there are lots of things that I like about it, and it's highly positive. You can certainly work on brief interventional effects because you can see the results. And I think that's one of the strengths in my perspective for FibroScan, because you can give that feedback to the patient at the time, and they love to see something. And it's about the opportunity at the time. And I do hear Vlad in my ear talking from him, listening to him yesterday, talking about biopsy. In fact, he nearly did well to convince me, not that I would have a biopsy, but he had me going and was encouraging on it. So I understood his argument. And as I discussed with him earlier, that I do believe that FibroScan is still kept within a specialist technician doing it. So it's not that you just train anybody to do it. And I think Stephen may agree or disagree with me. Some of the worst people to do fibro scans are occasionally physicians, because they don't do enough of them. And I think we know that it's about the amount that you do for fibro scan. And there's been some excellent studies through EASL so far, where the success rates in even morbidly obese has been in the well into the 90s, which is not what you see in clinical trials. And that may be due to those sort of things. But Stephen, I just wondered, I think it was Nazim Nuruddin last night was talking about the changes to clinical trial endpoints, moving away from liver biopsy as those trial endpoints and moving more towards dynamic fat fraction. So the strength of this device appears to be its significant correlation with dynamic fat fraction. Do you think there would be the potential? I know Vlad would argue the opposite, but do you think there's the potential therefore to use that as this device is a surrogate of a surrogate?
I do. I do think that's a great point, Louise. You know, the struggle we've had with the regulatory authorities is they're data-driven people, and they want to be very cautious in how they go about approving medications. And that's no different in NASH. The problem is we're faced with, as you noted, a surrogate of an outcome. And right now, we don't have enough data to substantiate that. However, as we talked about on the podcast today with PDFF, and it's headed in that direction, I believe. And if it continues, you know, you guys are speaking of Sonic Insights, Michael and George, you guys are able to take Velacur and continue to generate data relative to what we see histopathologically across a broad spectrum of patients. You don't run into the false positive issue that potentially CAP has in cirrhotics, although that's yet to be proven. It's certainly anecdotal. And you're able to have a strong, you know, AUROC as well as sensitivity and specificity. I think that's gonna be where you wanna target this thing. The concern I've got with every one of these tests, and I've talked about it over and over again, is the positive predictive value when used alone isn't always where we want it to be. And I think that's probably not going to be any different with this one. The negative predictive value will turn out to be better than the positive predictive value. If I'm wrong, kudos to you guys, because you've now developed the first test that has a better PPV than NPV. But generally, that's not the way these things go. So it's long-winded answer to your question, Louise. I think it is possible, but got a lot of work to do with it first.
Well, let me ask George and Michael one more question, and then we should start to wrap this up, or else we're going to wind up with a three-hour episode today. And that's not what these gents want or our listeners. So, George, apropos of all this, and Michael, how do you envision this moving forward, and how do you envision it being used in practice? You know, we talked about a few things. Who would be using it? What would they be testing for? Who, how broad would the target patient population? What do you envision?
Well, maybe I could speak just from the clinical perspective, having used both FibroScan and Velocur personally and within our group, we have had better uptake, easier access, utility of Velocur than FibroScan. Right now, my clinical research assistant does all the Velocur studies, but without any difficulty whatsoever and with very little training. So I do think that from a training perspective, and this is just anecdotal, that this is an easier machine to use than FibroScan. And as you quite rightly discussed earlier on amongst the group, is that FibroScan is technically more challenging, and we have our FibroScan technicians do all of our FibroScan studies, including our early our open access program, for which primary carers refer their patients for FibroScans. Any of the machines that we send out into the community are all, we have to send a technician out with the machine.
Yeah, and just to add to what Michael just said, I mean, ultimately, we do recognize that we do need to prove and win in the space of hepatology. But the long-term objective here is to roll it out into the other care providers that support hepatology, GI, endocrinology, and PCPs, ultimately. If we're going to address the problem, we got to go to the source. And the source who holds the, you know, the, those patients that are at risk or have disease, it's PCP and beyond. And that's what our objective is, to make both the quality, fidelity of information high, but ease of use really important, and access as third.
So that sounds to me like a pretty good note on which to close, unless anybody start with Steve and Louise and then to Michael, George, have anything else we feel the need to add? I'm going to take silence as assent. George and Michael, thanks for coming aboard today. Sonic, thank you for sponsoring this podcast and for becoming our partner as we go forward and try to educate the community. And we wish you nothing but success and good stuff as you move forward.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation, and look forward to our next discussion.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for letting us present.
Okay.
Thank you. And, lovely.
And,